The Pinto, a subcompact car made by Ford Motor Company, became infamous in the 1970s for bursting into flames if its gas tank was ruptured in a collision. The lawsuits brought by injured people and their survivors uncovered how the company rushed the Pinto through production and onto the market. On May 28, 1972, a 1972 Ford Pinto driven by Lily Gray stalled as she entered a merge lane on a California freeway. Her Pinto was rear-ended by another car traveling approximately 30 miles per hour. The Pinto's gas tank ruptured, releasing gasoline vapors that quickly spread to the passenger compartment. A spark ignited the mixture, and the Pinto exploded in a ball of fire. Lee Iacocca, a rising star within Ford due to his success with the Mustang, argued that Volkswagen and the Japanese were going to capture the entire American subcompact market unless Ford produced an alternative to the VW Beetle. As executive vice president, and later as president of Ford, Mr. Iacocca was the driving force behind the program to produce the Pinto. The Pinto was rushed through production in just 25 months so it could be included in Ford's 1971 line of new models. The normal time span for production of a new car model is about 43 months. During the accelerated production schedule, Ford became aware of the serious risks associated with the Pinto's fuel tank. Miss Gray died a few days later. Her passenger, 13-year-old Richard Grimshaw, suffered disfiguring burns and had to endure dozens of operations. He underwent surgery to graft a new ear and nose, using skin from the few unscarred portions of his badly burned body. Mr. Grimshaw and Miss Gray's family filed a tort action against Ford, and the case uncovered much information about how the Pinto was rushed through production and into the market. Internal company documents showed that Ford secretly crash-tested the Pinto more than 40 times before it went on the market, and that the Pinto's fuel tank ruptured in every test performed at speeds over 25 miles per hour. This rupture created a risk of fire. Ford engineers considered a number of solutions to the fuel tank problem, including lining the fuel tank with a nylon bladder at a cost of $5.25 to $8 per vehicle, adding structural protection in the rear of the car at a cost of $4.20 per vehicle, and adding a plastic baffle between the fuel tank and the differential housing at a cost of $2.35 per vehicle. None of these protective devices were used. Adding to the pressure to ignore these safety costs was Mr. Iacocca's stated goal that the Pinto was not to weigh an ounce over 2,000 pounds and not cost a cent over $2,000. So, even when a crash test showed that an inexpensive piece of plastic stopped the puncture of the gas tank, the alternative was thrown out as extra cost and extra weight. Ford proceeded with the manufacturing schedule. Ford officials decided to manufacture the car even though Ford owned the patent on a much safer gas tank. Did anyone go to Mr. Iacocca and tell him the gas tank was unsafe? Hell no, replied an engineer who worked on the Pinto. That person would have been fired. Safety wasn't a popular subject around Ford in those days, and with Lee, it was taboo. As Lee Iacocca was then fond of saying, safety doesn't sell. Ford knew about the risk, yet it paid out millions to settle damage suits out of court, and spent millions more lobbying against safety standards. Pinto was the best-selling subcompact in America. By 1977, new Pinto models incorporated a few minor alterations necessary to meet federal standards that Ford Motor Company had managed to hold off for 6 years. Why did the company delay so long in making these minimal and inexpensive improvements? Simply Ford's internal cost-benefit analysis, which places a dollar value on human life, said it wasn't profitable to make these changes sooner. Ford's cost-benefit analysis showed it was cheaper to endure lawsuits and settlements than to remedy the Pinto design. Many separate suits were filed against Ford. In Grimshaw v. Ford Motor Company, the jury awarded $2.5 million to the Grimshaws, $559,680 to the Grays in damages for the victims' injuries, and $125 million to the crash victims to punish Ford for its conduct. Ford appealed the judgment, and the court reduced the award of punitive damages to $3.5 million. However, the court denied Ford's request to have the punitive damage award thrown out entirely, finding that Ford had knowingly endangered the lives of thousands of Pinto owners. The Grimshaw case was just one of over 100 lawsuits filed because of the design flaws in the Pinto that resulted in fuel tank fires. Estimates by Mother Jones attribute between 500 and 900 burn deaths to Pinto crashes. These people would not have been seriously injured if the car had not burst into flames. The significant and widely publicized Grimshaw case sent a message to automakers that if they chose to ignore safety considerations, it would be at their own financial peril. This case helped push the automobile industry from a belief that safety doesn't sell to emphasizing new safety features in their marketing. In 1978, following a damning investigation by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Ford recalled all 1.5 million of its 1971 to 1976 Pintos, as well as 30,000 Mercury Bobcats for fuel system modification. Later that year, General Motors recalled 320,000 of its 1976 and 1977 Chevettes for similar fuel tank modifications. Burning Pintos had become such a public embarrassment for Ford that its advertising agency, J. Walter Thompson, dropped this line from radio spots: "Pinto leaves you with that warm feeling."